have to be what?
Twice.
What?
Twice as good.
Twice as good as them to get half of what they have.
Welcome. Howdy, lovers, listeners, and comrades in arms. Today is State of the Union Day, and welcome back to another episode of the Twice as Good podcast. We are your mistresses of ceremony, Dallas DK Kyle, and the wonderful, the marvelous, the charismatic MJ Craig. How you doing, lover?
I have done so many questionnaires. I have researched so many things. My head hurts. I feel like part of my soul has left me. And I drank a Red Bull today for the first time in like 2 weeks, which I'm really proud of myself. I went 2 weeks without the Red Bull. We're really fucking trying. But it was really necessary because after taking 3 naps today, I was still exhausted. So I was like, at this point, we tried natural remedies. We got to go for the drugs. So let's bring in the blue crack. It was a iced vanilla blueberry flavor.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty good. And, you know, that's kind of where we are. It's State of the Disunion Day or whatever the fuck they're calling it on Twitter. And honestly, I'm just trying to make it through.
Yeah. I feel that.
How are you?
Free at last. Free at last.
Are we?
Massa is off my ass. I am so tired. I almost got away with recording this podcast in the dark. And
you were never going to get away with that. I just want listeners to be very clear. There was no almost. It's like that show, I Almost Got Away With It, where criminals are talking about how they almost got away with a crime. And then you listen and you're like, you were never going to get away with that. Like, the minute you decided to commit, you were 100% going to get caught.
Listen, I never understood that show because when I watch it, I'm like, sir, you getting caught. I'm surprised. Yeah, I'm disappointed they didn't catch you faster.
Right. You didn't make a single good decision.
Listen, when I tell you, I said I either need to figure out how to create a business that helps me make money in my sleep. I need to marry well, or I just need to cease to exist. When I say ever since Donald John Trump has walked his little orange ass back into that White House, I've been working overtime, sir. You are not only impacting federal workers, you in fact impacting state and municipal lobbyists. You're impacting the whole ecosystem here in the DMV. Since you started doing your big one, I need you to chill the fuck out. And for nobody else, just the whole ecosystem. If you live in DC, Maryland, or Virginia, you are working harder than you have ever worked in your entire life. It is slavery times for everybody. Black, white, Latino, Asian, everybody in this area is working their ass off, from the gas station attendant to the governors in their state houses. Everybody is in some type of indentured servitude since you walked your ass back up in that White House. Please.
The traffic is so bad that I went to the store earlier today. I had to go to the UPS And then I decided to run to the Asian supermarket because I love those little like jelly things.
Oh, I love the Korean Asian supermarket.
Mm. Yes, they're my fave. I got back and I sat in my car for a second. And I'm not going to lie, I kind of fell asleep in the car. I was like sitting outside, I fell asleep. I walk in and my brother had wanted to go to visit our parents. So I text him and I'm like, I thought you were going to see mom and dad. Like, you wanted me to come back so you could take my car. He was like, you got back too late. I got back at 2:15. But because traffic is so bad now, he knew that even leaving at 2:15, he would probably hit traffic.
Yep.
Because it's a wash. Like, traffic is so bad.
Traffic in the DMV area has always been
already the worst traffic in the country.
Now?
Already.
I'm sitting in the, to get from, if I go to, let's just say, if I go to DC to Baltimore, regular, like no, absolutely nobody is on the road. It's nighttime. DC to Baltimore is 45 minutes. 35 mm-hmm. if you're riding with shit.
35 if you like to play with your life and law enforcement. Yes.
Yes. And now, and with traffic, it was about an hour 10, like regular rush hour. Now it's an hour 50. Hour 45. Everybody is so on the road. Please.
And I try to explain this to people because I know people live in New York. I know people live in LA. And they're like, oh, our traffic is worse. And I'm like, no, it's not. The difference being that, like, in LA, most of y'all are in LA County. And you are trying to get closer into the city. So it's like, oh, the traffic from Rodeo Drive to Hollywood or blah, 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 it takes so long. LA is one of the flattest cities I've ever seen in my life. I remember the first time I flew in there, I was like, why is the city so flat? Like, it is flat and it is large because it is a West Coast city. You are actually going far. Do you have a lot of cars? Yeah, your highways also have like 7 or 8 lanes. When we complain about traffic in DC, oh, in New York, you have public transportation. That's why there's now a congestion law. You literally could just get on the train. In DC, in the DMV, you are going across jurisdictions, across state lines, across city lines. And you're not actually going that far.
You're really not. That's the problem.
Growing up, it was a straight shot from our house to Howard University. They were on the same Georgia Avenue. 16 miles. On a good day, 45 minutes to an hour. Because of the lights. Because the lights were never synced. Traffic, an hour 20. You can be going 15 miles here. It is 22 miles from where I currently live to get to Georgetown. I know this because there's a Nike store in Georgetown. Mm-hmm. You have to be within 35 miles of the Nike store for certain releases in order to join the raffles. So I know how far away I live. 22 miles. It has never taken me less than an hour to get to that place, even without traffic. Let alone now that they're doing all this construction on the GW Parkway. So half the time you go there, half the lanes aren't open, or you gotta be in the right lane to get off at the right place. Traffic here is horrid. And Trump was like, oh, I'm gonna make all of you. Well, actually, let's be real. Elon Musk decided people should also come back to the office. So now traffic is 100 times worse.
Yeah, and I just want to be very clear, sir. Like, this is not California. Like, we don't have four different lanes. We have 1 to 2, 3 lanes at most.
Well, some have 4. Some highways have 4, but one of them turns into an HOV lane at certain points. there's a lot of merging. Our highway merge system is really bad because you have people merging and exiting into the same lane in a very small space.
Jesus.
It is. Yeah, I can't wait to leave.
Listen, it's really bad. I'm President Trump. I'm going to try to be as respectful as I can in this plea. Please.
Don't forget President Elon.
Him too. Chancellor, whatever you want to call yourself. I don't care. Please. Please. If you don't do nothing else, let government workers go back to working hybrid. There was a reason why post-pandemic, the government was like, yeah, some of y'all can just stay home. Because these roads, accidents are up, traffic is up, tickets are up. It's just up and it's stuck in the DMV area. Please leave us alone. You got people running to and fro, scared of their jobs. You got all these little check-ins, all these one-on-ones. This is not a good use of anybody's time. I don't know what's happening up there, what y'all doing in that White House, but...
Calling Russia. Checking in with their bosses at the Kremlin.
Even Vladimir don't run the Kremlin like this. This is crazy. So I'm just asking you to please leave us alone. That's all I'm asking. Like, this is wild.
There are reports that there are going to be cuts to the IRS and I believe a 50% reduction in workforce, so that should help with the traffic.
Yeah. This is, if I ain't got filed taxes, if you keep cutting the government, I just need to know what we supposed to do about taxes this year.
They are getting rid of the department in the IRS that audits billionaires. Again. I just wish the Democrats start calling a spade and say these people are clearly working for somebody else that's not the American people. You're picking fights with all of our allies and now you're besties with Russia. That's not normal.
Nothing.
But we're not a foreign policy podcast. So.
No. And quite frankly, my favorite Putin clip is where he walks into a meeting full of oligarchs and he sits down. The oligarchs were complaining about some policy he was about to push. He sits down and starts being like, he starts calling them stupid, starts telling them to shut up. Don't start complaining. He says, and if y'all do, there will be like consequences. He starts threatening them, then gets up and walks away.
What about this do you like?
This is just funny for like humorous purposes, but I'm just like, I wonder if he has the same relationship with Trump. If he just like tells him to, if he just calls him stupid and just like tells him to shut up. Like, I wonder if he talks to Trump the way he talks to the Russian oligarchs.
I mean, probably. You know, someone asked Grok or whatever, like that the Twitter AI is, XAI, whether or not it thought that Trump was a like Russian asset,
Mm-hmm.
And even the AI said that there is a 75 to 85% chance, based on everything they could find on the internet, that Trump has been a Russian asset since the 80s.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, lovers and listeners, open your TV Bibles this week to Scandal, the book of Scandal, chapter, season 2, verse, episode 9. We have gotten to the episode, one of the defining episodes of the Scandal series, Defiance. If you are a true Scandal fan, for those of you who watch the show, who are Team Jake or Team Fitz, if you were Team Fitz, have questions, but whatever.
I'll say the same about you supporting Millie. So let's just all skip jump ahead.
It's Melly. Put some respect on my first lady's name. Thanks. Y'all know that this episode is the episode. A lot of what happens next as it pertains to the series really fallout from this episode. I would say Defiance defines at least definitely the rest of season two, most of season three. And I would say there are some callbacks in season four.
I honestly would say Defiance the whole show. Because not for Defiance, we wouldn't be where we are with none of these people would be here. They literally do an episode, I think it's in season five or six, where like Jake is talking to Fitz and he's like, what would your life be like if you hadn't won the election? And if Defiance didn't happen? And they do like a alternate universe episode and all of their lives were different.
Yeah, I think he divorces Melly, they get married. Yeah, we gotta actually do that episode. Yeah, we have to.
The episode's super good. And then Quinn is like some like weird TV host.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Melly's an attorney. So it's actually a really interesting episode.
Yeah. Olivia's hair is natural.
Yes. She has like this really pretty curly thing situation going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this week on Scandal is, of course, the Defiance episode. Harrison, shout out to Columbus Short, leads Pope and Associate staff on a case involving a billionaire in the midst of a psychotic break and who's in the midst of finalizing an IPO. So those of you who are into like tech startups, publicly traded companies, you know that in order for a company to be publicly traded, I do believe that the head of the company does have to, there's a whole like health and physical test that has to happen for the CEO to make sure that the person who's signing over a privately owned company is doing so like a free will. And there's a bunch of stuff that's involved, like the health of the company, the health of the leadership, all that is involved. But this is just a big deal because he's marrying some young girl. It's a whole thing. It's really funny. This man is on ATVs. She's like, Big Daddy. It's like a whole thing. They're very cute. And he's just like, y'all can have the company. I just really want to marry this cute young lady. And him and the son go back and forth in a way that the man was like, you can have the company. I just want to marry her. I didn't understand what the big deal was. So God bless it. Over on the Hill in Congress, Senate Majority Leader Schumann is forced to step down because, again, another old man is sleeping with some intern he shouldn't be sleeping with. So he has to step down, and the very sexy Senator Edison Davis, who is the majority whip, is now whipping votes to become the majority Senate leader with the help of Madam Olivia Pope. And James Cyrus's husband digs into Hollis Doyle, who's actually one of my favorite characters on Scandal, because it's very much, he's what Trump wants to be, but can't be. Like, Hollis Doyle is what Trump thinks he is, but is not. So I'll just leave that there. He is digging into Hollis Doyle and Citron, and after David gives him all of the information that he has compiled about this issue. I think that one of the biggest things for me with this episode that I love, one of my favorite villains in this show is Hollis Doyle. One, because I think he's hilarious. He's very funny to me. But two, I say that he is who Trump hopes to be because Hollis is very decisive. He's very much like, look, I have a goal that I need to reach. So I'm going to do what needs to be done to get there. He's not all over the place. And he's very, like, matter of fact in a way that is, it's very endearing. And he's like a very, if you live in Texas, Georgia, the southern states, he is somebody's very rich, very white grandfather. MJ's giving me the eye, like her eyes are closed, which is like her eyes are like, she's squinting so hard that her eyes are closed. So I'm just going to shut the fuck up now. So
what are some of your,
I just don't know. The words that you're using are just a little confusing to me. One, I think to say that Hollis Doyle is endearing, I don't know if there's an endearing quality about him. I think he's a good character. He's interesting. He adds a lot to the plot. He reflects what's a very real part of the political landscape. Hollis Doyle was a terrible husband to each and every one of his wives. Not a good father. His one daughter is such a drug addict and a horrible person. She cuts off her own fucking ear to get money out of him and fakes her own kidnapping and then would rather take the money than have anything to ever do with her parents ever again. He bombed an office place because someone got greedy. When at the end of the day, he has the money. He could have just given it to him, which is something we said on an episode, what was it, 2 weeks ago? So I don't know if endearing is the word that I would use to describe this person. I think he's a very real representation of the worst kind of greed that exists in America and he's how fine. It reflects on their family, on the how they handle business, and the decisions that they make. So yeah, he's not, I think he's an interesting character. And he says some funny things. That's all I could give you.
Well, I did call him a villain in my defense.
I don't think he's a villain. I just think, I mean, I think the two actual villains on Scandal are Cyrus Bean and Olivia Pope. we're keeping it a box.
When you boil it down, but you gotta get to like season 7 to figure that out. You're like, these hoes.
Not talking. I mean, the now real Cyrus is a villain the whole series. He kills an intern in the first season. He's not the main villain, but seeing as he's the villain the entire show, Cyrus doesn't have a. What is his redeeming quality?
I think there are soft spots to Cyrus that are revealed throughout the show.
Cyrus is no better or worse to me than Dick Cheney.
Sure. Shout out to Dick.
Like, he is willing to trade any and everything in his life for power.
Awesome. Okay, y'all, we're gonna try to put this show together, but it's like 9 o'clock after a work day. So we're gonna get it back on track. Okay.
But going back to the Senate Majority Leader, who was forced to step down, and Edison, who you called handsome, even though in season 6 he turns out to be a bitch. I actually want to go back to because opposite the top in recapping our weeks and the traffic in DC. I very lightly touched on the fact that I think Donald Trump is a Russian asset. I also think we need to question whether or not some of the Republican U.S. senators are also assets, because I don't understand. Like, I saw what happened on Friday in that room with Zelensky. What I don't understand is how a group of people who are the party of Ronald Reagan and the party of Nixon can so easily flip a switch And now they're using, like, they were taking photos. There's a photo of Lindsey Graham with Zelensky right before he went into that room. So I'm like, you know how we've all seen a TV show or two where there are like fake Americans that are really Russians. What was the one with Kerry Russell, The Americans?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I think we need to all realize that the plot here is thick. And like, I don't understand what is going on with these senators and how we got here.
Well, I mean, we all know what Lindsey Graham is trying to hide. That's why I don't know why he's in the pockets of Russians anyway. We all know your secret, sir. Let that thing go.
But at this point, I'm like, it has to be more than that. Because it's not just one. It's literally every single one of them.
My whole thing is this. How did y'all let J.D. Vance carry the tempo of that meeting? Everything was going cool. Then all of a sudden, the vice president, who I know this is not nice to say, is to be seen and not heard. And barely seen. You let the vice president, like in one meeting, shift the entire stance. The entire foreign policy stance of the United States as it pertains to the Ukraine versus Russia. Somebody who's supposed to be seen and not heard.
It was embarrassing. I will say, I don't think it, the meeting was not going well. Like, you could tell, because I did end up going back and watching the full 50 minutes. They were trying to provoke Zelensky the entire time. And he just wasn't taking the bait. From asking why he wasn't wearing a suit to like talking about like, oh, you never said thank you. Like, they were trying to provoke him into flipping out and he wasn't taking the bait.
Which is crazy that you could think somebody born during the Cold War would have a whole bunch of emotions for you. That's funny to me.
Right.
Like, this man,
he grew up in Soviet Russia.
Your own wife doesn't have a whole bunch of emotions. These are not super emotional people. Ice water for blood. Like, these are people right. who, like, are just like...
But it's also like, yes, America is an ally with Ukraine. We are also we're an ally with them. It's not out of, like, the humanitarian goodness. We don't like Russia. We don't think Russia's a good actor. We don't want them invading their former Soviet Union countries. So yeah, he's here and he's asking for our help because he thinks our interests are aligned on this.
At least that's what decades of foreign policy have indicated.
Okay. All he did was ask a question. You want to set up this treaty or this, what's the word I'm looking for?
Peace treaty?
They've done them in the Israel-Palestine conflict a couple times, where you have like a stay of fighting.
Oh, a ceasefire?
A ceasefire. You want to do the ceasefire based on this mineral agreement. What happens if Russia reneges? That's all he asked, which is a real question, because they're gonna renege. And that is when these people blew the fuck up and started acting crazy and talking to this man like he's not a leader of a fucking country. And then you see the Ukraine ambassador in the audience, hand on her face, like, what the fuck is happening? You see fucking Marco Rubio trying to slip into the seat and it's not working. Like, it was embarrassing. You're out here yelling at him, oh, you should have said thank you, blah, blah, blah. You, all this, that, and the third. Are y'all okay? Literally out here spitting out Crimea talking points or Russia talking points?
And what's even worse is just the repercussions that have come out as a consequence. So because of
because you all had these, like, were majoring in minors, you let your side character become a main character, and then you had U.S. senators shift their entire stance on U.S. foreign policy in the matter of, like, an hour.
Insane.
You now have the party of one of Ronald Reagan's defining policy issues.
It's one of the only things he actually did that people are like, yeah, I guess he did that motherfucker well. Star Wars.
Like, is Mr. Gorbachev tear down this
tear
wall?
Tear down this wall!
What happened? How do you go from that to why aren't you wearing a suit? If you'll get the fuck out my...
You know what it reminds me of? Have you ever seen that John Oliver episode about Sinclair?
Yes.
And you know at the end where they show the video that shows like all the reporters saying the same thing at the same time?
Yes.
That's what that party felt like on Friday. Where the conference ending and everyone be like, what the fuck is happening? You see all the cabinet members, you see Marco Rubio, they're all posting this shit and you're like, are y'all okay? All the senators are posting, oh, we stand with the president. Zelensky said to do this, that, and the third. I just want to go up to them and just go on the head and be like, what's going on in here? Are you okay?
Come now. Like, come now.
It's wild. It's wild.
You're chasing
and then you see Europe. Europe is like, clearly the U.S., is no longer a reliable anything.
Because Europe realizes that, and for those of you who aren't really up on, who aren't like Cold War enthusiasts, it's actually a very interesting period in time. So I encourage you to go back and look. The Cold War was like, reached all the way to Germany. Like a lot of people forget.
Literally, that's where the wall was.
Yes. So it's just like, why are we... So Europe's like, girl, we can't afford for Russia to start gaining ground.
The Cold War went all the way to South Africa. Like, the Cold War was played out in every single country that didn't have a strong government or had a major chasm within their society.
Russia was funding governments left and right. Like,
even Marie Le Pen came out yesterday and said, what is happening in America that America is supporting Russia? Marie Le Pen is basically a Nazi.
Marie Le Pen hasn't had a good thing to say about a person of color any day in her life. And when that lady is just like, is this mic on? We don't know these people.
Bonjour, America. What is happening over there? What is happening?
Will you have the same right-wing German party that Elon Musk was supporting be like,
we don't agree, but this might be where we're a little confused. Racism, cool. Supporting Russia?
Crazy.
We've never been on that side.
Like, that's how acidine this new stance is. So Trump has now halted U.S. aid to the Ukraine. So there's that. So now Europe, the EU specifically, is in a race to put together a decent arms package and aid package for Ukraine because the U.S. has decided that they don't want to, Donald Trump has decided that he no longer wants to fund the Ukraine. And of course, he has now dismantled the U.S. aid department. So there is no money. There's no arms. There's no humanitarian aid going to the Ukraine at all. So now Europe is just like, okay, we now have to fund the Ukraine by ourselves because we actually, from a geographic, geopolitical standpoint, have we vested interest.
We can't afford to have Russia just thinking they can hop into other fucking...
Like, next thing you know, Germany is back on the other side of the wall, like...
Okay! All of a sudden, to go to Hamburg, you gotta speak Russian. Like, this is fucking nuts. People just started going to Croatia for vacation.
That's done.
Like, it... Can you imagine being in Europe? Like, imagine being Macron on the Friday. You're watching this on the evening news because, you know, you're a couple hours ahead. And you're like, what the fuck is happening?
And this is Donald Trump is still the same person that says he has all these good relationships. And I'm just like, but where, sir? Because they are very much like, he doesn't even go here. They very much like, we don't know her. Like, that person is not our friend. We very much don't sit with us. Because
I really want to go to Europe this summer. Because obviously the news in the US is very scripted. And I want to see...
Oh, yeah.
A friend suggested going on World... Like, finding World Talk on TikTok. And, like, getting updates that way. And I've been on it before where people are just like, Americans are stupid. I just want to leave and go see how they report about the U.S. somewhere else. Because I see how Canada started treating us. Did you see the governor of Ontario? Who looked very familiar. And then I was like, oh, his brother was the mayor... Mm-hmm. The mayor who was caught doing crack. I'm saying, I mean,
I know you are. I know who you're talking about, but the way you just the cat.
Well, he has passed now, so may he rest in peace. But that is how I came. If someone asked me who the mayor of fucking Montreal is, I don't know who the fuck that is. I only know this one because of what happened. But his brother is the governor of Ontario, and that man has come out. With the blicky. He's like, cutting off electricity, we're raising the prices. If you live in Minnesota, New York, and I think the third state might be Michigan, he's like, we're raising the prices. Otherwise, you all get a blackout. We're canceling all your contracts. Starlink, Elon Musk company, contract canceled. Get the fuck out of our state. No other U.S. contractors. Don't come here. We don't want you. Get out.
But what kills me about this whole thing is just like, we now... have to deal with, again, like we said at the top of the show, President Trump, your decisions, the things you say, have consequences. You are the leader of the free world. The free world encompasses over like 120 different countries. Everything you do or say has ramifications for well over a billion people across this entire globe.
And you just
be doing everything. Can you imagine being a European world leader and you having tea, drinking coffee, having a cigarette? Next thing you know, you look to your left at your TV and all you see is your counterpart. Talking about how your ally is ungrateful. Next thing you know, you're like, turn that up. You got to be like, hold on, turn the TV up. Cause
Macron was calling the Prime Minister of Germany and being like, I can't believe me and Marie Le Pen are on the same side of something. What the fuck is happening in that country?
Listen, I know he was just like, called Marie, girl. Do you see?
I never thought I'd say this, but we gotta figure out what the hell's going on.
We have to have a unified response.
I mean, as Trump was announcing the tariffs going into effect yesterday, they showed on, I think it was CNBC, as he's talking, the Dow is just plummeting.
Oh, yeah. That thing is down now.
In real time. And they're like, well, and I'm like, at this point, we need to have a real conversation about these voters.
I hate to look at my retirement right now.
I'm not. I'm like, we need to have a real conversation about the people who voted for this man. Because at the end of the day, they said during the election, we're going to have to dismantle the economy and then we're going to fix it. We're going to bring it back. That's not how economies work. You don't get to like break it apart and then put it back together.
That's not how that works, girl. That's just like, as a social science major, that's not how that works.
It's literally not how it works. Economies are like glass. You break them, you will never put them back together again the way that they were. Furthermore, as someone pointed out today, the last time in history that Republicans had control of the House, the Senate, the judicial, and the majority of the governor's mansions was 1928.
Okay.
And it's giving, we're heading towards the new 1929. Last year, everyone was talking about how we're getting back into the 20s, especially because, you know, 2020, we had a huge disease, very similar to the Spanish flu. It's giving we're heading towards a recession of massive proportion because these people don't know what the fuck they're doing.
I would like to remind you all, after the 20s came the 30s. And if you all remember the 30s, it was labeled the Great Depression. So...
And for Black people in particular, it was also blood on the leaves. Because the racism was rampant.
It was hot. And I'll just say, as the great-granddaughter of someone who lived in Winnsboro, South Carolina, the daughter of a sharecropper during the Great Depression, one of the reasons why our family is now from the DMV area is that there were no resources. There was no resources during that time. Like, I want to remind you of just the lineage and the history. Y'all, we're back. An inside joke just played out during the recording of this show. And
We couldn't keep it. We would have been canceled. We had to cut it out. But
we were really trying to stay with y'all. I say all this to say, listen. Okay. Y'all keep playing around. Y'all gonna find out fat meat is greasy. And I don't want that for a lot of Americans, because a lot of Americans aren't going to be able to recover. And that's going to be a hard pill to swallow. So
I think that while that is true, I also think this is what people voted for. There is not a single thing that they have done so far that has been out of the realm of Project 2025 or what they literally said on their mouths during the campaign. So the amount of voters who are like, I didn't think he would actually do it. So then what did you think he was going to do? If you didn't think he was going to do the thing that he said he was going to do, what did you think he was going to do instead? Or I didn't know it was going to happen to me. Oh, so when he said he was going to cut jobs out of the federal government, whose jobs did you think he was going to cut? Because he didn't specify. So why didn't you think it would be yours? So I'd be like, I am sad for the people who voted for better and are still going to end up with
suffering the consequences.
But overall, I'm also like, you know what? I think Americans, many of them are extremely comfortable and have, and I don't mean comfortable like wealthy or well off. I mean comfortable like people have no idea how their government works. They have no idea what services are covered by their government. They have no idea what federal funding goes towards and what it doesn't. or what it's like to actually, I mean, there were seniors who were calling the Social Security office today and they were told that the wait for a disability is now nine months or more to for processing. And that if they wanted to wait on hold, it would take 120 minutes at the earliest for someone to be able to respond to you. Like, that is what happens when you cut government services. If you live in some of these red states, now that your universities are losing their NIH and their federal funding, that's the economy of your state.
Oh, a lot of you didn't think that you worked for the federal government or were funded right. by the federal government. Alabama, Texas. Y'all are finding out that you are, aren't you?
What happens to your football teams when no one can afford to go to the games anymore because no one has jobs? Like, I just don't understand how people are so racist and so xenophobic and so sexist that they were literally willing to cut their nose to spite their face, because for 95% of American history, rich people have told poor white people that if you're poor but you're white, it's better than being poor in anything else. So as long as we keep those people down, you'll be fine. And they've accepted it. And it literally makes no sense to me. But I'm getting off my soapbox because, as you mentioned earlier, James from Scandal is doing his big one on investigating Defiance, which, for folks who have not seen Scandal, Defiance, as we mentioned, is the, like, kind of like the big nest egg of the show. Basically, Fitz was going to lose the election. Olivia had done everything she could. They got back a bunch of polling. The fact that it was that close was because of Olivia Pope. Like, he shouldn't have won the primary. And now they're in the final bounds. They are losing Ohio, which is a must-win state for them. Which is actually true of Republicans in real life. I don't think a Republican has won the presidency without Ohio in a very long time. And there is a county. There is a city in a county, Defiance, Ohio, where if they win that particular place, they will win the election. So Olivia is meeting with Cyrus, Berna, Hollis, and Melly, who, like, honestly, with Melly, I'm kind of, like, neither here nor there on her part in this, because she doesn't really do anything, and then tries to pretend like she had nothing to do with it once it comes out, so whatever. But at first, Olivia did not want to do it. Hollis was like, we can find someone who can fix the election and we'll win. Olivia didn't want to do it at first. But then after Fitz's dad died, she changed her mind because she realized how much he wanted to be president and went through with it. We later find out that, like, the Quinn Perkins of it all and how she relates to this is she was dating the guy who Hollis Doyle had hired to be, like, to create the machine that they used to fix the ballots. That guy then came back to Hollis and wanted more money and was threatening to expose him. So Hollis set up Quinn to take the fall for an explosion that happened in the building that murdered, like, the entire company of people. Olivia and Verna, but really Olivia, felt guilty about the fact that Quinn was basically an innocent person in this. So she, like, Huck kidnapped her, drugged her, and set her up with a new life. And then when she did get caught, Olivia called in a favor to Verna to get her off. So James has been investigating all of this for months at this point. especially after he was betrayed by Cyrus. Because I believe at this point that's happened. Am I right?
Like he cheated?
No, when Cyrus basically like sold him to what's her face? Has that happened yet?
No, that's still down the road.
Dang. That was crazy. Like I said, Cyrus Bean.
That's another really good episode.
Cyrus Bean is bugging. Are you sure that hasn't happened yet?
No. Because they've already gone through the whole Defiant stuff when that happens.
Dang, they go through a lot.
The first three episodes, the first three seasons of this show are probably some of the best episodes in television history.
Once Olivia gets kidnapped, the show just... Shandi, you took it too far. The show just goes... It just goes in a different direction.
It's real bad.
Yeah. But anyway, so James is doing all this investigating. He's getting a lot of this information from David Rosen, who is the DC AG. And I think what I wanted to talk about with this is the fall of American journalism. And how, like, stuff like this... I mean, also, spoiler for anyone who has seen Scandal, James ends up getting murdered just a season later because he's digging into something he shouldn't be. But in this particular instance, James is doing real journalism. And the story does not come out, but... I feel like we don't get journalism like this anymore. Like, we don't get the Walter Cronkites, the Watergate. We're not getting that today.
Oh, no, like, investigative journalism is dead.
Is dead. And is it partially because billionaires are buying up every fucking newspaper and broadcast that they can? Abso-fucking-lutely. But I think about, I remember watching a documentary about the Panama Papers and how, like, the journalists that broke the story, most of them, at least from the documentary standpoint, it was either international journalists or ones who worked at the international branches of some of our, like, national newspapers. But journalism, like, as it used to be, it just feels dead. Like, I'm just like, if you're on TV, you're probably part of Sinclair or your Fox News or your CNN or MSNBC. If you're at the White House, if you ask a question, if you ask an actual question, you're probably going to get kicked out, let alone the fact that, like, most of the journalists don't ask real questions anyway. No one ever pushes back. No one ever argues. The interviews are jokes. Like, it's just very... I feel like I blame a lot of things for how we got here as a country. And journalism is one of them. Like, they treated Trump the first time around like it was shits and gigs. And, like, there was even a quote, I think it was last week or the week before, where some journalists, it was one of those, like, overheard whatevers, where some journalists were basically like, reporting on Trump is better because at least it's interesting. Biden didn't really give us anything. What's wrong with you? Like, I'm just like, what do you mean he didn't give you anything? And Trump is more interesting. You think this is shits and gigs? Like, this isn't fun.
Reality TV has really warped our minds.
Say that.
Like, everything, the news is the news, and entertainment is entertainment. Sometimes they overlap, but not often. I do agree. I think Trump has now kicked everybody out the White House, like, You can go, you can go. He revoking passes left and right.
Oh my God.
If we ever get a Democratic Congress and a Democratic president again, that there should be a law against that, but that's just me. Joy Reid and other minorities at MSNBC gone. Just randomly on the chopping block. It was so random that last week the girlies were doing like protests, like turn your screen purple in support of Joy Reid, say her name. It was like a whole thing because
wild.
Joy Reid was one of those few voices that were like, you know what? I'm a black girl with a degree, and I'm a black girl that can read. So I'm going to sit here during this entire election, and I'm going to read you all like a bedtime story, the Project 2025, so you all are clear. And it's clear to me that in 2025, the year of our Lord, not enough that broadcast, because everything that's happening here seems to be a surprise, and I'm not sure as to why. And Joy Reid is now the third primetime TV host, Black woman, who has been nixed from MSNBC. RIP to Tiffany Cross's show, RIP to Melissa Harris Perry's show, and RIP to Joy Reid's show. And this, it's hard to watch these women be taken off the air, because Abby Phillips, I believe, now is the only game in town. Shout out to her. Like, I'm actually thinking about it. I do believe now she's the only game in town. And I think
whoever the fuck they got on Fox, if they even got anybody. I don't even think they do.
I only say this because there's a difference between being a political analyst and a political commentator, and then actually having a journalism broadcasting degree and putting together a news show. These are very two different things. The job description is different. One is like a freelance gig. The other is actually a journalist talking about the news on TV. These are not the same.
I know the difference between The View and 60 Minutes.
And some journalists do like get a minor or a second bachelor's in political science or sociology or something like that. But these are people who actually have their like degrees in mass communications, broadcast journalism. They're like, were beat reporters before, they were columnists. Like, these are people who actually have started their careers in hard-hitting journalism. So it's really tough to see just the shakeup of somebody who was actually being factual about what was happening. Now, I will granted, MSNBC is known for having a more left lean to it, but be clear, Joy Reid, it is.
You mean versus like Fox?
I think on the spectrum, it's Fox is right. MSNBC is seen as a left-leaning broadcast channel.
Yes, versus like a Fox. But I think if we're looking at if you already assume that that's the case, and then you're looking at the spectrum of the left, I would say they are definitely more on the moderate side of left.
I forget what the tool is, but on the tool, MSNBC is left of CNN.
Yeah, CNN is supposed to be in the middle.
I think CNN, I forget the tool. I know the tool you're talking about.
I think if you're looking at like where these networks started, Ted Turner wanted CNN to be in the middle and be neutral.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, like, I prefer CNN International versus the U.S. version, because CNN International is more of a, like, 24-hour news report where it is, like, this is what's happening in this country. This is what's happening here. This is what's happening here. This breaking news here. Versus the U.S. version that feels like it's starting to lean a little more into The View and a little less into 60 Minutes. And I think it was supposed to be in the middle. And because the spectrum has become so wide and so polarized, it is moving more left because they still sometimes tell the truth. Then MSNBC is to the left of them. But I think if you are looking at, like, the political spectrum of just the left, people would put MSNBC and their host and, like, the way that they talk about things on the more moderate side of political opinion on the left.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I would agree with that assessment.
Yeah, versus, like, Vice. Half of the shows on Vice are people doing fucking drugs.
Yeah, like in the cartel. I don't, they have an obsession with drug culture that I haven't really figured out yet, but that's just me.
They do balance it with the show Intervention, which I appreciate.
I agree. I mean, if I am watching 24-hour news, I actually watch the BBC. Yeah, I say that as a Al Jazeera, the BBC. I say that as a former IB kid. Most of my Western education is through the European lens. I actually didn't do a lot of, like, American history outside of, like, elementary school. A lot of my education is through the European lens.
You didn't miss anything. It repeats.
So, that's why I really do. I laugh at myself, but I also laugh at, like, Americans in general, because I'm just like, if you really realized how the rest of the world views you, you would, like, be ashamed.
It's embarrassing.
But I just think overall, it's really just sad to see the state of affairs of where we are. I think when you look at America's foreign policy stance and where we are with the press as a whole in America, I think Instagram and TikTok and X, formerly known as Twitter, I really wish they wouldn't have sold that doggone company, is, I think, are good sources to start your entrance into news. But I would really encourage you all that reading is fundamental, comprehension is key, and that you all should look for credible news sources. They don't have to be CNN, MSNBC, or Fox. There are other credible news sources. You can go international if that feels better for you. But you all, it's important that we support investigative journalism, that you support your local broadcasting centers. And I really want America's journalist community to make a comeback, because one, I can tell a lot of you do get your news from TikTok, and it's really starting to hurt my ears and hurt the conversations that I engage in as a adult. So I just want all of us to kind of come to these conversations with a basis level of knowledge that is actually interesting and engaging. And that can only happen if you actually read the real news. Lastly, billionaires who are into some shit that they shouldn't be into. Elon Musk and his army of children have added another family member. Shout out to the Musk love child and its mother, who are now suing Elon for paternity tests. Is it?
No. Which one are you talking about? Are you talking about number 13 or number 14? Oh, sorry. Let me update you. So there's the woman who came out like 2 weeks ago and was like, yeah, I had a baby with Elon last year. I didn't want this to come out, but the press are going to release it, blah, blah, blah. And she was like some conservative, like social media person. I think her last name's St. Clair. Mm-hmm. So there's her who like, the thing that people are saying is like, you're like a conservative social media person who rails against like single, like black single mothers and broken homes and all that stuff. But that's, I mean, that's you are a single mother. Your child will be in a quote unquote broken home. So there's her, but then it also came out that he also recently fathered a child with one of his other, like, already baby moms. Oh, which Grimes? I think this is her, not Grimes, a different one. This is his fourth child with this woman. And this woman, like, comes from tech. So they just had, like, an arrangement where he would father her children.
Are y'all having sex with this man? Or is this, like, a
These are all IVF. To the point that there's a question of whether any of his children were conceived naturally or if all of his kids were via IVF. Because he did IVF with his first wife. And those kids are now, like, grown. Like, adults. Who, like, don't associate with him at all, don't fuck with him. Then there's this woman who he just had the fourth child with, and she is four. I think his first wife has also maybe four. And then Grimes has three.
Yeah. She's fighting for custody now.
Which, I mean, I, much like people judge whoever has children and dates future, I judge anyone who procreates with Elon Musk, except for the first wife, because who knows what he was like then. But for her, I'm like, why are you allowing your child to be around these people? Like, I see your child on the news telling the president of the United States to shut the fuck up.
Apparently, she signed away her parental rights for some reason. I didn't get deep into the story because that really is business that doesn't concern me. But I will say this. The billionaires living in Silicon Valley have this like weird like birthing movement going on. They're trying to repopulate the earth with their embryos, and it's giving very dystopian era designer baby in a way that's like super weird and just it doesn't feel right. Yeah, it's giving very Handmaid's Tale. Thank you. So we need to keep an eye out. That's really why I brought this up, is that, you know, I think if you are a same-sex couple that wants to start have a child, if you are a woman who is making the conscious choice to not, who doesn't desire marriage, but definitely wants to have a child. Or
if you, single moms by choice.
Yes. Single moms by choice, or if you are a couple that is struggling with fertility and you really want to start a family, I think IVF and surrogacy and, you know, or you've had a miscarriage due to genetics and you are wanting to start a family, so you're doing different things to ensure that you are able to carry a pregnancy to term. So there's some certain genetic designing that needs to happen. All for it. But those of y'all trying to create these like super human intelligent babies just to have them populate the earth, Elon and friends.
Actually, I don't know why I said Handmaid's Tale. It's giving Hitler.
Yeah. Sam Altman. Yeah. I use ChatGPT a lot. Hitler. But y'all, I'm keeping my eye on you because it's very weird. I think, you know, nature, God, the universe, whatever feels right for you, made it where you stick it in, something happens, baby comes 9 months later. That's the way it originally is supposed to be. But thank you to science and technology, those who want to have children but need assistance or help to do so are able to do that and have a family. That's what that is for. But some of y'all are out here doing some weird, just like stuff, and I'm watching you. That's why I brought that up. Elon, let's kill it on the kids, please.
It's very it's very Aryan perfect race, right? Because like, to your point, I actually don't see an issue with a couple or an individual being like, we have sickle cell or Tay-Sachs or like a very specific breast cancer or prostate cancer gene, and we want to, or like spinal bifida, and like we want to eliminate that from our gene code, or we want to pick the embryos that don't have that. Like,
I think that's great.
Go for it.
Let's make healthier people amazing, if we can.
Yes, I think it's amazing that science can allow us to do that. I also think it is a very slippery slope because unfortunately not everyone has innocent intentions when it comes to the uses of science. Mm-hmm. I think it's the same with cloning. The ability to clone cells is an amazing scientific achievement. We also have to acknowledge that not everyone who would want the ability to be able to clone something is doing it for the benefit of science. And when I see these wealthy people trying to have a shit ton of kids, it is very much giving Aryan race, giving perfect race. We want to repopulate the earth with our perfect people. It reminds me of the documentaries about these like weird sperm donors who like try to go around the world and offer like free sperm to like hundreds of women. They're like in group chats and in like different groups because sperm is expensive. And how like when they started to dig into a lot of those men, they are like weird ass racists who want to get like, who want to rid the world of other races by repopulating the world with their kids. Some of these people are said to have over 1,000 kids, which A, is really bad for the gene pool, like the world gene pool. Two, also means that like your kids, if they don't know each other, they could end up like dating and marrying their sibling.
Like, it's just very weird. Deformed babies. Like, come on, y'all.
Very weird. And I think, yeah, like there are questions as to whether like Elon Musk use IVF for all these kids. I personally don't really care. Like,
just stop having them. Thanks.
It's just weird. And I think the part to me that's weird isn't even that he is like, I mean, do I think it's ironic that some of these men who are like, you can tell are racist and you can tell probably say terrible things about Black men and Black women, have some of the same stereotypes that they claim to detest in people with melanin? Sure. I do think it is, there is a weird, it takes a certain type of hubris and self, like a certain type of hubris to think that you should father that many children by that many women, especially if you are like going out of your way to like donate your sperm to these women. Like, you're not just like sleeping around and like popping out kids. Like, you must actually think that your genes are better than the average person, and that to me is kind of weird.
Yeah, I have more to say, but I know where my explanation will fall short, and so I'm not gonna say what I need to say because I really like this show and I would hate for y'all to cancel it. But I will just say, I don't know, a Chinese billionaire, Black billionaire, Indian billionaire, they're not doing this with their money. Because there's so many other things you could be doing with your money. I will just say those on record to be doing IVF and these genetic designer babies for the sake of just populating, not for the sake of like genetic health or creating a healthier world gene pool, are white. I have not seen any Black billionaires. They're not doing this over in India. Like, they keeping it old school. Stick it and move. Like, and if we need to go the scientific way because the old school way doesn't work, then we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But like, y'all, that's the problem that I have. There are just very subtle racial undertones to this that make me uneasy. And I'm watching y'all. So
I don't even think they're that subtle.
No. Y'all did a whole interview on it. Anyway. Now, because I'm tired and I'm ready to go to bed, and we're at hour 15.
On this day in history.
Yay.
Okay. I looked up some new info since we're recording a day late because I had to do so many questionnaires. And I'm going to run through. March is a very busy month in U.S. history, which is kind of wild. Yeah. So I'm going to run through some of the big ones. On March 4th, 1789, the government under the U.S. Constitution began.
We hope that it continues.
Yeah, I was going to say, who knows how long it'll keep going, but there is that. Since we brought Abraham Lincoln was also inaugurated today in 1861.
Shout out to one of my favorite presidents.
In 1918, the first cases reported in the deadly 1918 flu pandemic for today, which this was the last 5 years ago. This was the last week of normalcy before the pandemic shut down the world. Damn. So March 4th is a rough one. And I'll give a couple goodies because we love her documentary. It was today, March 4th in 2005, that Martha Stewart was released from prison.
Shout out to the OG.
Shout out to a real one. Louis Lepke Buchalter, the head of Murder, Inc., was executed on today in 1944. And today, March 4th, 1960, I Love Lucy's famous couple, Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. Lucille filed for divorce.
Damn.
Ah, Ricky! So there goes that. Let's move on to March 6th. On March 6th, the Dred Scott, the United States versus Dred Scott decision came out. For folks who don't know, the Dred Scott case was one of the last preceding factors to the Civil War. Dred Scott was enslaved and was promised freedom upon the death of his master. His master's widow refused to give it. That's crazy. And then I believe they moved to a state that would allow him to be free. So he sued, claiming I'm a person.
Yeah, I think they moved to Kansas or something that didn't have slavery at the time.
They moved somewhere. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I don't want us to get called out like we did last week. So I want to keep the facts vague but accurate, and encourage people to go to a reputable source for more information. But he sued based on laws of personhood and the Fugitive Slave Act and like a couple other pieces of legislation that had passed. And the Dred Scott decision was that slaves are not people and are not citizens of the United States. Therefore, they have no standing in United States courts. Unfortunately, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court at the time is from Maryland. Maryland did not have does not have a lot of great federal officials. Shout out to Tom Perez for being one of the only ones. Other notable Maryland claims to fame at the federal level are Spiro Agnew. So anyway, so that case happened. And then after during the Civil War, when the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments were passed, it nullified, because it grandfathered in all slaves and their descendants, the decision from the Dred Scott case. Why this matters now is Trump wants to end birthright citizenship. And one of the reasons that he cites for birthright citizenship not being a real thing and like not, and it having, and that like it shouldn't be a like the that it's not the correct interpretation of the 14th Amendment is the Dred Scott case. He says the reason that it was put in was to reverse the decision of the Dred Scott case, but it was not meant to be there in perpetuity. So we shall see. I don't know what legal scholar wrote that up for him, because when they asked Pam Bondi about the 14th Amendment, she said she hadn't read it and she wasn't sure. So I'm not sure who put that together for him, because it clearly couldn't have been her.
Crying.
I will never forget that shit. You would think as the AG, you want to be the AG, the top attorney of the United States. You couldn't brush up on 27 amendments.
I'm pretty clear on like at least the first 18.
I mean, I was just like, what do you mean you'd have to look it up? Like, what the fuck?
The first 10, you should know by heart. You
put it in your fucking notes? Like, come on.
But I'm just like, 10, you should just know by heart. If you're an American citizen, 10 of 27, you should just know.
I feel like if you are, well, most Americans wouldn't pass a U.S. citizenship test, so they don't.
But we did take one and I passed it.
Same. I feel like if you are a practicing lawyer for the government, because I believe she was the Florida AG before this.
Okay.
You should know all 27. And if not all 27, I expect you to know 1 through 10, 13, yeah. 14, 15, 16.
Yeah.
The repeal. Yeah, like, I expect you to know the ones that you probably have to use to practice law.
17 and 18. That's what I'm like, the first 18, you should just know.
Yeah, like, I'm like, I don't... Like, what are we doing? So, that was that. March 6th also marks, as we were talking about journalism today, March 6th was also Walter Cronkite's final show as the anchor of the CBS Evening News.
Aww.
And Walter Cronkite was an OG of journalism.
Mm-hmm.
So. I also have a random journalism fun fact since we talked about Watergate. So Leslie Stahl, who is a 60 Minutes anchor, absolutely amazing, has a story where she talks about, because she was one of the journalists who like broke the Watergate story.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about how the reason that she got to cover the story is basically because when the break-in happened, her boss was like, oh, this is probably going to be a nothing burger, but a perfect story for a woman, because no one really thought it meant anything. And they just wanted to give her something to do because she was the only woman at the station. So she ends up covering it, and it ends up being one of the biggest stories of the 20th century.
Same.
But she basically only got to cover it because of sexism.
Well, we thank you. And I think that to add on to that, I am going to highlight the first Black first woman speaker of Maryland, Adrienne Jones, is the first ever woman, first ever Black speaker.
Hey, it's Women's History Month.
Yes. First woman speaker of the Maryland House of Delegates. I was there when she won her election because just like anything that Democrats do, we couldn't get it together. So, she snuck in there and won the majority of votes. And I definitely want to give my condolences to her family. It mm-hmm. was publicly announced that her son has tragically passed. His services will take place on Friday. And I will say Adrienne Jones is one of the hardest working Democrats in the country, and definitely the hardest working Democrat outside of Anthony Gregory Brown in the state of Maryland. So we just want to highlight, we want to highlight both of their achievements here in the state.
And I would like to go down as the first Black woman speaker of any house in U.S. history.
And that's the way it is around here. And before we close out, I do want to give one of our listeners personally has my phone number, unfortunately, and likes to call and text to give their perspective on things that I say. I was filleted.
I love that for you because they don't reach out to me.
I was filleted on my mistake around Grey's Anatomy. And I was definitely corrected on my presidential history. I just would like to say that Teddy Roosevelt served his consecutive terms. He served a total of 8 years as president, ran for a third term under a newly formed independent party, but lost the election. It is President Grover Cleveland who served two separate terms, but only did a total of 8 years, but two completely separate terms. And he and President Donald Trump are the only two presidents in U.S. history to serve two totally separate terms as president of the United States of America. So I would like to give a special shout out to PBJ, is what we'll call him. And I just came up with a pseudonym. You don't like peanut butter and jelly, PBJ? Don't make that face. Shout out to PBJ for your consistent engagement on our podcast. I'm sure when you hear this, you will call and text. I'm sure there's something I got wrong on this this podcast, but have no fear.
Keep that energy to the person you're pointing it to, because you have both of our numbers and you're not reaching out to me, and I am okay with that. So keep that energy over there. Much appreciated.
You and my father both want a listener section. So we will be adding that into the show for the second half of this season. Now that we have a format that we like. So be on the lookout for that. MJ, do you have any closing thoughts? And close us out, please, for the love of God.
I can't wait to hit my bed. Also, finally getting my teeth fixed tomorrow. Praise God.
I can never tell until you left.
But I can. Okay. Well, thanks for listening to the Twice as Good podcast. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you listen. Also, please, please, please leave us a review, give us a rating, hit us with a 5-star. It helps other people find our podcast, and it helps move us up on the Apple and Spotify plays list. So please make sure that you leave us a review and give us a rating. You can follow us on Instagram as twiceasgood_podcast, on X as twiceasgood_pod, and check out our website, twiceasgoodpodcast.com, for more information. All opinions shared today are those of MJ Craig and Dallas Kyle. We are not affiliated with or paid by any political party or political group to produce this content. See you next week.
Shout out to Putin. Okay, bye.
Don't shout out to Putin. Bye.